Oh, we're good students this morning, and you remember very well. I really believe I could test you, and you would get it. But I do want to clear something up, and I thought about this, and I think maybe God showed me this afternoon, because I don't want anybody to mistake that I was preaching sinless perfection. And I know that could be taken that way by this verse. But I want to go back there and say something about that in verse number 34. And then we'll just read on a little bit from there and continue on the message. But where in verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And somebody would like to probably say to me, well, Brother Brown, have you not committed sin since you've been saved? Well, you know the answer to that, and I'm going to ask you, have you? And so, but here I told you that this was a present participle. You remember that. And it means a continuation of that sin. I'm not talking about some sin that slips up on you and I. I'm not talking about something that happens to us sometime. And when we do sin, it should create a great sorrow in our heart. It should break our hearts. But we should constantly be repenting and making things right in our Christian life. But in that present participle and what he's giving here, the word committeth means, here it is, commit, commit, commit. In other words, it is your practice. It is your way of life. And sin should not be my way of life. Sin should not be, and also the servant there is the sin is controlling the life. When the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God should be controlling my life and your life, and when he does not, it shouldn't take us but a skinny minute to get right back right with God. Okay, is that understood? Am I okay there? Shake your head like that. Yeah. And it helps my, I don't have near the double chin I used to have since I've been amening like this. And so it's a good exercise if you got two or three chins. Amen. All right. Hope we got that cleared up. So we talked this morning about the message that Jesus preached here. He preached a wonderful message. And the message from the Savior. Now let's just read on a little bit. And I don't know how far we read. We're not going to read all the way through verse 47. We'll get to it when we get to it. But verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Amen. How long are we going to be a son of God? Ever and ever. As long as Jesus is the Savior and the Son of God, we're going to be his children. Amen. And I thank God for that. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, we're talking about freedom. Now, let me just interpose this as I'm saying this. There is no one that is in the bondage of sin that we've been talking about that is free. And we're talking about free. We're talking about being free. We're talking about being set free. God has set us free. Let me just come up, so I'm going to say it. You and I do not have to sin. I didn't say we wouldn't ever sin. I said we do not have to sin. How many times? Now, I'm going to prove it with you and your hand raising. How many of you have ever, since you've been saved, been tempted to sin and you yielded to that temptation? Raise your hand. Put them down. How many of you have ever been tempted to the same sin since you've been saved and did not sin, did not yield to it? Raise your hand. I rest my case. You don't have to. You will. There will be times. I doubt very soon. I don't know. I don't know how much longer I got to live. But I doubt that I'm going to live the rest of my life without yielding to something or losing. Well, somebody say, well, I lose my temper. Most of the time I don't lose mine. I find it. But anyway, that's what happens when you got one of those terrible things. Amen. All right, let's keep. Where was I at? Verse what? 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. And by the way, those of us that are saved by the grace of God should not have murder in our heart. We should not want to kill people. Amen? Because, and here's the key. Well, it's the key to the whole. Do me a favor. Go right back. We did this afternoon with Gail and Ashley on the telephone. Go back through this and find out the whole theme. It's words. It's word. It's the word of God. You cannot separate this passage of Scripture from His word. Okay? And so I speak that which I have seen. Notice this. This is very important. I speak that which I have seen. In other words, when he said, I have seen, he's talking about witnessing, right? If you saw something, you witnessed it happen, right? And so he said, seen with my Father. Talking about God the Father. And ye, now circle that word do. What does do mean in anybody's language? It means practice, doesn't it? And ye do. You are doing. You are participating. You're not just witnessing. You are letting this happen, that which ye have seen with your Father. Now, who's he saying their Father is? These that are talking, he's saying that you are, the devil is your father. Not the ones that believe, not the many that did believe, but those that did not believe. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now we've had this before. Jesus saith unto them, if, now he's throwing doubt here, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now, I'm going to stop here at verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Why would you want to? I could understand if I was going to be a killer or a murderer. I could understand how people would want to get even with those that had done an untruth or told a lie about them and caused them that pain. But I can't understand somebody wanting to kill somebody that doesn't do anything but tell the truth. You see? He said, told you the truth which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. So he's proving what I said when I first started the message, that Abraham is a man of faith. He is a man that is following God. He is a man that loves God. He is a man that is teaching these people about God. You say, he is not one to be mistrusted. He is the one that when God told him to offer his son, he did offer his son. Now, God stopped him. But as far as God is concerned, he knew if he had not have stopped him, he would have offered Isaac. And I need to say this, his only son. And so notice with me, we talked about the message of the Savior. Now notice with me, secondly, if you're writing this down, write this down, the mistakes of the sinner. The mistakes of the sinners. What was their mistake? Laid out for us right here in the Word of God. Those that were engaged in this conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ knew nothing of this great privilege. And we're talking about the great privilege, the greatest privilege in Abraham knowing and receiving that privilege. But they didn't know anything about. In other words, Abraham, as far as they were concerned, was shooting in the dark. Isn't that the way it looks with you sometimes when you are trying to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they look at you like you may be a calf looking at a new gate? Yeah. And so this is what they were doing. They were greatly mistaken in several ways. Please write these ways down because it's important. They were mistaken in their appreciation of their own history. They didn't know their own history. Why were they in bondage? They didn't. They said they weren't, but they were in bondage while they were speaking. They were in bondage. And they did not know their history. All they had to do was think of their history. They thought they were not slaves when in fact they were slaves. They were descendants of Abraham. Jesus admitted that they were that, but they were in bondage. Look at verse number 33. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. Notice they said it, I didn't, and were never in bondage. Now listen, they were no different than you and I. I've been in bondage. You've been in bondage. I got freed from that bondage in 1968 when I got saved by the good grace of God. When God covered me with that blood, God saved me. And so, yes, I was in bondage. And ye, to any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Had they forgotten their past? I hadn't forgotten mine. Have you forgot yours, Brother Dave? You told me you hadn't today. He said he kind of wanted to hang on to it to see where God had brought him from. I said, there ain't nothing. And I have to do that sometimes. I sing that song, remind me, dear Lord, where you brought me from and where I'm on my way to. And so had they forgotten how many years that they, are you listening to me, that they were in servitude to Egypt? How many years in Egypt? Have they forgotten that they were in bondage in Babylon? Have they forgotten while they are speaking at this point that they are right now in John chapter 8 in bondage in Rome? What do they mean they never have been in bondage? But more important, they were slaves to their sin, which Jesus has brought before them. Look at verse number 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Amen. And so they had no appreciation for their own history in bondage that they've been in most of their life. Notice with me, secondly, write this down. Notice with me, secondly, they were mistaken in their apprehension of truth. They just wasn't getting the truth. Sometimes we hear the truth, but we don't grasp the truth. And they are hearing it, but they are not grasping it, but in their case, I want you to know this, they didn't want the truth. Several times Jesus mentions their failure to apprehend truth. Look with me, please, at verse number 46. Verse number 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? There's the question. Can you lay your finger on him? Can you go through this Bible? Can you find one place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that he committed a sin? Absolutely not. If he did, he could not save you. He could not save me. But he never committed a sin, so he asked him, put your finger on me, tell me, where can you say that I have sinned? And if I say the truth, notice this, why do you not believe me? I asked somebody this one time, I'll just tell you, it doesn't matter. He's with the Lord. But I said to my own daddy, my daddy was a pretty stubborn and hard-headed man. I loved him to death, and he was a good man. But I just said to him one day, I said, Daddy, if I can take that Bible and just absolutely lay this out and prove this to you, would you believe what I'm telling you now? He said, probably not. You know people like that. I know people like that. You can tell them the truth, show it to them. You can show a scientist that, but he's not going to believe the truth. But here Jesus is showing them, he said, it makes no, I can show all of this to you. You can't lay your finger on me at all. But he said, you still, here it is. It is a choice. You choose not to believe me. So he makes it plain that because he was sinless, and there was proof that he was sinless, that he said was the truth. Not only was this the truth, you know this as well as I do. He is the truth. You say, Brother Brown, what is truth? Jesus. I rest my case. Can I go any further? He's the truth. Yet they did not believe him according to verse 46. Now, look with me, please, at verse number 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? Have you ever said that to somebody before? Is there something about this that you don't understand and you gave that word? Yeah. Why do you not understand my speech? What is your problem? Even because ye cannot say it with me, hear my word. What is it that's going to set you free? Jesus, yes. His blood, yes. But it is the word. It is the word that makes you free and makes you free indeed. Now notice they could not hear it, and if you cannot hear it, you cannot receive it. I don't know if it's one thing about me coming here and there and preaching different messages. Sometimes I use some illustrations over again in other messages, but I was preaching in Thomasville, Georgia. And I was preaching at Gateway Baptist Church. Brother Bob Norman's with the Lord now. I was preaching for him. It was Friday night. And where you got the doors in the back, the double doors in the back, they had those too. And other doors, they were open at least. I could see. But their doors were all the way glass. And while I was preaching, I could see cars going up and down the road. I think it was Highway 316. And I was watching those go. Sometimes I could see lights as they passed by. And I got completely finished with the message. I have no idea what I was preaching, what my text was. I don't remember the date anymore. It's been 30 years ago, I'm sure. But I was preaching, and I had started giving the invitation, and those glass doors opened, and people were coming forward inside, and I watched that man as he walked in the outside through the glass doors, went behind the last pew. There was a space over here so he could walk on that side, and he walked about three or four pews down. And here's what I thought, Brother Danny. I thought this man is looking for somebody that was in church tonight that he needs to get a hold to. They got an emergency in the family. You see what I'm saying? He's coming to say, you know, you need to go home. He's been arrested, you know. And he looked like he was walking straight for somebody, but he wasn't. And he walked and he sat down in that pew. Just sat there. Nobody beside him, didn't contact anybody, so that evidently was not right. And I hadn't seen him before. Nobody else had seen him before. And when I finished giving that invitation, he hit that altar. And I mean, he lost it. And I had a friend of mine, Brother Lester Allen, another preacher. And I knew Lester could deal. And I said, Brother Lester, would you take this man and go back here and see what's going on? He did. It took him a long time. But we were still going. We had some other people saved that night. And he come out, stood right down here with this man. And Lester got what he got. He was just out of control. He couldn't talk. I mean, he said, he'll have to tell you. And he said he got saved.
Amen.
Well, praise God, but how it happened was just unreal. He said, I work at some loan company, and I have driven down this road every single night this week, looked over at this church through the glass doors, could see people sitting in there. I think he said he could even see the pulpit. And he said, every time I drove by this church, he didn't know what it was. We know, Holy Spirit of God, got on him and said, why don't you stop and go? And he said, I fought it off. Monday night, Tuesday night, on and on and on he went. And he said, tonight it got so strong that I could not fight it off anymore. And he said, I got to those glass doors and I couldn't get inside. That's as far as I got. But I heard every word of the message that you gave from those glass doors. And I had to respond to the invitation and get saved. And he said, I'll tell you what I told this gentleman. He said, I did not know for sure if God could save me. I was doubting whether or not I was even a candidate for salvation. He said, because I've killed lots of men for my country. I have never gone out just to kill people, to kill people. But when I was in Vietnam, I don't even like to talk about it, and this thing has haunted me and haunted me. Can you take the lives that I took and still be saved? And this man told me tonight that I could, and I got saved tonight. Amen. Now here he is, a slave to sin. He's hearing the truth of the Word of God, that he had to have ears to hear it. And so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He heard the truth, and he got saved because of the truth. They could not hear it. In other words, notice with me verse number 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word, here it is. The word has to have an invited place in you. You've got a desire to have the engrafted word of God, which is able to set you free. So they did not have a place. You can't get saved without a place. Then we'll tell you what I believe. God gives everybody that's ever been born in this world a pilot light. He lights every person that comes into this world. And if you'll take that light, thank God he'll give you some more light until you get the grace of God. Look at verse 47 again. He that is of God. Now this, remember, also is a present participle. He that is of God, that's you, heareth God's words, plural. All of them. Ye therefore hear them because ye are not of God. If we are of God, we will rejoice to get to come to church to hear God's word. Amen. Why? Because why do people not want to hear God's word? What's it say? They are not of God. And you want to hear it because you are of God. So, it was so serious because, according to verse number 45, they deliberately rejected his word. Verse number 45. And because I tell you the truth, this is deliberate, ye believe me not. I told somebody this. I believe Caleb was there. Thursday night, I was talking to him, and what's that brother's name? Kendrick McDonald. I believe that's his name. He was sitting at the table, and I was talking about when I pastored in Chiefland, and we ran a bus route, and we picked up boys and girls on that bus route all the time, and we had them saved a good bit. And so we picked them up, and so, but sometimes, you know, they'd make a profession of faith. We'd want to baptize them, but we could not and would not baptize them without permission from their parents. Didn't I tell you this the other night? You were there, weren't you? Must have been somebody else. Talking to you, Caleb. Okay, you were there. Okay. He just didn't know who I was talking to. I was just looking at him. So anyway, I went myself to talk to, and there was one parent there. There was a dad standing in the yard, and he treated me pretty ugly when I walked up in that yard, and I didn't feel too good about it. And I told him I wanted to baptize his son, that his son had professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I wanted to baptize him at a certain time. And of course, it would have been would have liked to have him come and all that stuff. And boy, he just told me, I wasn't welcome. No, I don't want any of that. He don't need no more of it, and that's going to be the end of it. Well, there wasn't a whole lot I could say. I was pretty well. I ain't been tongue-tied many times, but I didn't know exactly what to say. So I just turned to leave, and he stopped me. He said, "Sir." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Could you explain to me what baptism is?"
Hey.
I said, "I would be glad to do that." There ain't no way you can explain how somebody gets baptized without giving the gospel. And I gave him the gospel just like an old sharp switchblade. And it cut him from here to yonder, and he got saved right there in his yard. And so they were mistaken in their appreciation of the truth. They, according to verse 45, they deliberately rejected the truth. Still true today, there's the natural man that received not the things of the Spirit of God because he, how's that? Quote that for me. Somebody quote it. I can't tonight for some reason. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, he is because he's spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. And so that's the natural man in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 14. They willingly believe the lie, do not want to face the truth. But we will face the truth. We will. Every mouth will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And so number three, if you're writing these down, write this down. They were mistaken in their attitude to the Lord himself. Look at it in these verses, verse number 42. Look at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would do what? Love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Notice what they were mistaken in their attitude to the Lord, because they did not love him. I've never met anyone, Brother Ben, that was saved and didn't love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. It is evident when somebody loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know. It'll be all over them that they love him. Notice verse 37, verse number 40. Let me read those verses. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed." He's talking about physically there, not spiritually. Because if they were his seed spiritually, they wouldn't seek to kill him. Okay? And so look at verse number 40. "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." They wanted to kill him, and they didn't love him. And so a true believer loves Jesus. But those who only have religion, oh, they can split a church. They can tear something all to pieces. And here's the test. I'll ask you, I've been preaching it, but what think ye of Christ? Amen. Notice, write this down. Fourthly, they were mistaken in their actions. 38. Look at verse 38. "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father." And now, verse 44. "Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because," here it is, listen, "Jesus cannot lie." Now my question is, can the devil tell the truth? His opposite, isn't he? When he speaketh a lie, notice, he speaketh of his own. He's giving his own testimony. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, go back one more time. Verse number 30. Verse number 30. As he spake these words, many what? This is not the ones he's talking about. He's talking about those that we are assuming did not believe. If many believed, many did not believe. There you go. They were doing the deeds of their father. Their character was to be like their father. Do you know this? That my children take after my wife. And my children take after me. Do you know sometimes I've had people say, well, that one looks just like her mama. And then I have them say, well, that one, even a grandchild, it looks like you. Why? Because they got some birthmarks from us. And we need his birthmarks. Amen. And it needs to identify us as Christ. Like the little girl said, well, Daddy, if I'm this high and this high and this high, and Jesus is this big, doesn't it look like he ought to be sticking out of me somewhere? If he lives in me, if he lives in you, he ought to be sticking out all over you. Message of the Savior. Mistakes of the sinner. Oh, I ain't got about four more. We'll have to quit. Just have to quit. The methods of Satan. Let me just give them to you. The meaning of the seed. I got a long way to go. We'll have to do it some other time. Go through it. Look at it. Read it. You'll see it. It's just right there. Plain as day. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And so we'll make ready for invitation.